Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to week 32 of Confession of Faith 2021. And today is our second week on Article 9 of the Baptist Faith and Message, the Kingdom of God. And you'll have to excuse, if you can hear this, there's some kind of strange electronic whistling in my office today. So if that's a distraction to you, which it's a distraction to me, I apologize. But we'll move on with this. I'll pray. We'll get right into it. Just want to say, do a brief review of the kingdom and then look at two cross references just to help solidify this idea in our minds. Father, we thank you for your kingdom that you've established in Christ. We thank you for him, for his reign, for his rule, for his power, for his mercy toward us, for his faithfulness toward you and his faithfulness toward us through his very great and precious promises that he's given us in the gospel. Father, bless our time together in Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. Article 9, the kingdom. The kingdom of God includes both his general sovereignty over the universe, so that's a general point about God ruling over all things, and his particular kingship over men who willfully acknowledge him as king. That's a specific point about his people, his rule and reign over those who come to Christ in faith. Particularly, the kingdom is the realm of salvation, so it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a realm of salvation into which men enter by trustful, childlike commitment to Jesus Christ. In other words, by faith, right? We enter, we receive salvation by faith is basically synonymous with saying we enter the kingdom by faith. Christians ought to pray and labor that the kingdom may come and God's will be done on earth. The full consummation of the kingdom awaits the return of Jesus Christ in the end of this age. So the kingdom of God exists now, but it does not yet exist in its full and final state, that is, resurrection glory, in the glory of the new heavens and the new earth when Christ returns. The way I summarized the kingdom, this particular point about the kingdom of being the realm of salvation, the way I summarized this last week is the kingdom of God is God's saving reign in Christ. It's his saving reign in Christ. It's saving because it's about God saving sinners by his grace. It's his reign because it's the way he rules over all things. He rules over all things through Christ and in Christ. It's God's saving reign in Christ. And that prepositional phrase is everything, in Christ. God is doing this in Jesus, through the work of Jesus, through the Spirit of Jesus, through the power of Jesus. He's saving sinners, expanding his kingdom, bringing us into the kingdom. So God's saving reign in Christ is my way of summarizing the kingdom of God. Here's one cross-reference that can help us think about this. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So right now, if you recall this phrase, saving reign in Christ, you can see how this verse or this passage speaks to it. Redemption and the forgiveness of sins. This is about sinners being saved. And notice the tense of what Paul is writing this here in Colossians chapter 1. These are about things that have already happened for Christians. If you've already come to Christ in faith, this has already happened for you. You've been delivered from the domain of darkness. That's a spiritual realm of being lost in sin and alienated from God. But we've been delivered from the domain of darkness and already happened, if we're in Christ, already happened, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Already members, already citizens, already belonging to, already partakers of, however you want to say it, the kingdom of God's beloved Son, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, God's saving reign in Christ, already exists, even though it doesn't exist in its full and final form yet, but it already exists. And secondly, verse 14, it's about redemption. It's about sinners being redeemed, forgiven, reconciled to God forever. One more here, 2 Peter 1, verse 11. For in this way, There, and I'm taking this out of context, as I do with all these cross references, because these are these confession of faith, and likewise on Sunday, our catechism, our brief devotions meant to be a catalyst for your study and prayer. So forgive me for ripping it out of context, but I trust you can go back and read it. For in this way, there will be future, that's future, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now in this passage, Peter is referring to the future and full and final manifestation of the kingdom, here called the eternal kingdom. We've not yet entered into that stage or that manifestation of the kingdom. That's future. That's when Christ returns. It will be richly provided for us, an entrance into this eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So all that to highlight, you know, the Colossians 1 to highlight that this exists, the kingdom exists already. If you're in Christ, you've already granted entrance into the kingdom, and yet there's still an entrance awaiting you, a future entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the full and final and irreversible, glorious kingdom of resurrection in the new heavens and the new earth, in the presence of Christ forever. This is where we are headed. Father, thank you for your kingdom. Thank you for all that you've given us. Food, clothing, shelter, freedom, and on we thank you. We worship you. Show us Christ from day to day. Drive us to your word. Drive us to prayer. Give us repentance. Give us faith. Strengthen our faith to serve you in these dark days. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Thanks again for joining. I'll see you Sunday for Catechism on the 33rd Lord's Day, and see you next Monday on week 33, Confession of Faith. God bless you.